This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, January 15th, 2025. It's another beautiful day. It's another cold day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're not listening on the radio, if you're listening through an app on your phone or your smart speaker or by podcast or watching us on social media, we appreciate you starting your day right here. My only question for you is this. Can you believe we are 2 weeks into the new year already? The New Year's Day was 2 weeks ago? That just seemed, well, I mean, time is... That first full week of working, man, I tell you, remember how Greg and I sounded on Friday? We're like, it was 2 weeks, right? Like, nope, this is still only the second full work week of the year, but there's a lot going on. You know, we've got a new presidency starting next week, a new Congress, a new legislature, and then some things happening on the local scene that we're going to tell you about today as well. It turns out in a story from WEAU-TV in Eau Claire that some law enforcement agencies in western Wisconsin have acknowledged using Eau Claire as a dumping ground, picking up homeless or mentally ill people who have not committed a crime, taxiing them to Eau Claire, and dumping them on the streets against their will. Now, well... there are some politicians that probably think that's a good idea, but there's no reason for law enforcement to sink to that level. We'll also tell you about how Governor Tony Evers has created a new program to reduce violence in our communities by addressing the root causes before there's a crisis that requires law enforcement. But the state's top Republican responds with insults and the mistaken assumption that more police are the best way to prevent crime. You know, the same Republicans who are engaged in the actual defund the police movement by creating tighter and tighter local budgets. We'll have our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff at 6:30, including a final round of grants for rural clean energy projects in Wisconsin before President Biden leaves office, with absolutely no guarantee that the Trump administration won't leave rural America high and dry. And our guest at 7:30 is Paul Hamilton, a former state Senate candidate in St. Croix County, who tells us about how important it is for former candidates not to walk away after an election loss, but to stay involved in their communities. We'll also have Todd Alba, meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Melissa Kay, and your input as well if you'd like to share it at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or you can use the Civic Media app to text or call that number, or put a comment up on Facebook or on YouTube, and perhaps we may show it up on screen as Mark does on Facebook, who writes, "Come on, Pat, show me some of that Northwoods compassion." I think I know what you're talking about, and we'll talk about that real soon. But first, let's do some temperatures around Wisconsin right now, because we are still in a cold snap here where it is 12 below here in Chippewa Falls. It is 16 below zero in Hayward. Amory is at minus 8, Wausau minus 7. Then La Crosse is 1 degree above zero. Green Bay is 1 degree above zero. Waukesha is 1 degree above zero. Madison doubled it. 2 degrees above zero. That's not really what they mean by doubling, is it? Anyway, Wisconsin Rapids is at 10 below right now. And alongside the lake, Radio Park in Racine, it is a sultry 5 above, where we welcome in Greg Bach down at Radio Park. Mr. Bach, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Pat. How are you doing this morning? Hopefully you're staying warm.
That much I am. That I can do here at home. Yeah. but I don't have to go out to a bus stop. You know, the extent of my exposure is walking Sherry's cups of coffee out to the car and putting them in the cup holder and kissing her goodbye
as she heads off to work.
Oh yeah, I'm the morning barista. Got the hot coffee, got the iced coffee, so she's good to go, ready. And that way I'm properly caffeinated too. I mean, if I'm making it for me, I suppose I could share with my wife, right?
Also, that cold air is going to give you a nice wake up call.
Oh gosh, does it ever just? It does slap you, doesn't it?
Yes, slaps you right in the face and laughs at you.
Oh, it does. And then the only thing that to me seems more cruel than a sustained cold snap is one that's interrupted by temperatures way above average. Because apparently over the next couple of days, we're going to see 30s. Maybe some places will tickle 40. But then we're going to sink down to get even colder than this.
Yeah, this is real nice, isn't it? It's just real. It was a really good idea here. Real good idea.
Yeah, really nice.
Thank you, great-great-grandparents.
Yeah, you could have settled any place.
Yeah.
Well, okay, they didn't pick Iowa, so we got that much going for it.
Fair.
You can find out what we're covering over at Up North News in our daily newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina Laurie puts that together for us. And as I'm looking at today's, it includes a note about some of the best breweries in Wisconsin that are owned by women. And, of course, if you like Spotted Cow, that would be the most prominent example, but there are plenty of others as well. Also, a story on how to reduce your energy bill under the Inflation Reduction Act, and we will have more about that with Melissa Ball coming up real soon in this week's Climate Check report. So, again, sign up for that newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. I'm going to jump right into sports because I know we have a lot of news to talk about as well. So let's get some of the basketball done with. Some of you on Civic Media stations may have listened to the Badger men's basketball team stave off a late rally by Ohio State and extend the Badgers' winning streak to 6 with a 70-68 victory last night. Yeah, Badgers, again, remember they started 0-2 in Big Ten play, but have now won 4 conference games in a row, so they're 4-2 in the conference. Now it's time for a West Coast road trip. They will be at USC on Saturday, and then UCLA next Tuesday. And you'll be able to hear those games on several Civic Media stations around the network and on the app. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. While we're on college basketball, let's mention the Marquette men's basketball team, 7th ranked in the country, I believe, outlasted DePaul last night, 85-83, and now they've won their first 6 conference games, 6-0 in the Big East for the Marquette men. In the NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo had 30 points, 13 assists, 11 rebounds, so a triple-double for him. Not just any triple-double. It was his 50th career triple-double as the Milwaukee Bucks beat Sacramento 130-115 at home last night, part of a 4-game homestand this week. The Bucks will be at home tomorrow again to play Orlando, on Friday to play Toronto, and on Sunday to play Philadelphia. So a couple of sports notes for you right there. In the news, the Wisconsin Assembly, as expected, did pass a measure that would put on the ballot a constitutional amendment that would require photo ID for voting. Now, again, the merits of voter ID are debatable. There are folks who say, well, why wouldn't you need an ID? Well, that is an argument that is not, it's tough to argue with it, except for this. There isn't a voter fraud problem. There isn't a problem of people showing up and claiming they're somebody that they're not. In fact, the only time that we've really seen any cheating these past few election cycles have been people on behalf of Donald Trump cheating to prove that the system is wrong. It's like, well, no, the system works. You got caught engaging in voter fraud. But there are also plenty of people who don't have IDs for a host of reasons. Don't drive, don't need a license. They're older, don't have their birth certificate anymore. They've moved within the last short term and haven't yet been able to get registered to vote yet. All these other reasons why these otherwise legal and eligible voters should be able to vote, but Republicans in the legislature don't want them to because they tend to vote Democratic. So the voter ID measure isn't about fraud as much as they say it is. It's not, because it doesn't happen. It's about finding a way to cheat and to prevent some people from voting who you suspect aren't going to vote your way. Well, now Republicans in the legislature want to take it a step further. It's one thing that it's a law. They want to put it in the Constitution so that it's even harder to get rid of it when perhaps there is better progressive leadership in the legislature someday. So the first order of business for this legislature, the first order, had nothing to do with inflation or affordability or health care or education or the environment or tax cuts. None of those things that people have said that they wanted. They instead worked on a voter suppression bill to get that on the ballot this April, when you're also voting for a new, you're voting for state superintendent of public instruction and a new Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. And now there will likely be this referendum on the ballot as well. So all the more reason to be aware of how important that April 1st election is, especially that Supreme Court one where you have Dane County Judge Susan Crawford going up against Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel, Scott Walker's former attorney general. And so if you want more information on the April 1st election, are you registered, who's on the ballot, all of that and more, head to myvote.wi.gov. And of course, keep it here on your favorite civic media station and read us over at upnorthnewswi.com for all the latest news about the April 1st election and its importance. I mentioned yesterday that Brad Schimmel has gone up on the air. TV ads are now starting to run about the Supreme Court race, a $1.1 million ad campaign. And that's what we told you yesterday, that the ads were starting. Now we've seen the ads, and we have to let you know those ads are starting. Brad Schimmel is starting out his campaign with an outright lie, saying that he led the initiative to reduce the backlog of untested rape kits in the Attorney General's office. During his first 2 years in office, with a massive backlog of rape kits, the number of kits that were tested were in the single digits. He dithered, dallied, delayed for a host of reasons, some of which he tried to explain, some of which defied explanation. And that backlog did not get cleared until Josh Call defeated him and took over the Attorney General's office. Now, let's be fair, the backlog predated Schimmel a bit. And it got going, the backlog got going, getting fixed late in Schimmel's term. But for him to say he was a leader in that initiative, given his abysmal performance in the first half of his term of Attorney General, well, that ad's just not right. We're going to talk about police and sheriff's offices using Eau Claire as a dumping ground next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
I like that. The folks at Linder's Theater say, turn it up. Greg turns it up. That's how this works in this radio thing. I get the big thumbs up from the engineer over there. We'll tell you why that band is part of today's history lesson coming up in 30 minutes or so here on Up North News Radio. On the text line, one message from Scott in Madison, who writes, shocking, the Republicans beat the Democrats on messaging in the Supreme Court race. Sarcasm, by the way, from Scott, and to which I can only respond, yep. If you don't message first, if you don't tell the public first about an issue, the other side's gonna. And so how do you want to play that? And in this case, once again, Republicans are the first on TV telling folks about something about the Supreme Court race and about a particular issue where the candidate might not be on the up and up, but he's framing the message first. All right, I want to share some notes here that I learned this morning from a report over at WEAU TV 13, my old stomping grounds there. it's a story about how law enforcement in Eau Claire has discovered that over a certain period here, that it's one thing for a city to have homeless residents and to have people who are mentally ill and in need of care. And if they come from your particular city, well, that's one thing. It's another when they're coming into your city from smaller towns around the area. Now, that too is not necessarily a surprise. You know, the resources are here in the larger city, I guess. It's an entirely different matter when law enforcement agencies in those other areas are picking up people off the streets without consent, bringing them to Eau Claire in this instance, not taking them to the jail, not taking them to the hospital, not taking them to a shelter, dumping them on the streets, dumping them on a sidewalk outside a shelter, dumping them outside of a Quick Trip in one case, to the point now where the city of Eau Claire has sent a letter to State Attorney General Josh Call asking for his legal opinion on custodial transport outside territorial jurisdiction. That's a fancy way of something of saying something like this is akin to human trafficking. These folks in these other places, which include St. Croix County, Menominee, Durand, and perhaps others, they're not bringing these folks to their local jails. Let's be clear. This isn't like the Andy Griffith Show. This isn't Mayberry, where they see somebody is struggling, bring them into the local jail, you know, give them a hot meal, let them sleep it off, you know, whatever. No. They're taking them out of their hometowns, and in each case, as reported by the city of Eau Claire, as they learned about these specific examples, each of these individuals did not give their consent to be taken to Eau Claire, and certainly not taken to Eau Claire in an unorganized way without a natural endpoint. Again, a hospital, a rehab facility, a shelter, something like that. I won't trouble you with all the details. I will tell you that at the WEAU.com website, you can get the full story, including the lengthy letter from the city of Eau Claire to the Attorney General spelling out some of the specific examples. But more importantly to me is the response from a couple of these places. Now, the city of Eau Claire says in the letter, "We believe these transports to be unlawful at worst and unprofessional at best." And they said they have contacted some of these other law enforcement agencies with varying responses. The letter says, "Menominee was apologetic and has made efforts to retrain officers to discourage this practice. St. Croix County sympathized with being a quote-unquote dumping ground, but made no promises on future reoccurrences, and records indicate a less than forthright response to Eau Claire Police Department regarding the provided example. The Durand Police Department was unapologetic and in fact said officers would likely continue this conduct in the future. As a Chippewa Valley resident, allow me to say to the Durand Police Department, stop it. Don't do it. It is illegal. It nearly amounts to human trafficking. If you have a problem in your community, deal with it in your community. Eau Claire is doing the best that it can with the folks who are there. Eau Claire is a welcoming community. There have been debates there about welcoming in refugees from war-torn regions around the world. Eau Claire has been a welcoming place for the Hmong community, dating back to their earliest arrival in this country. There is nothing wrong with Eau Claire in terms of a reception for others, but not from other law enforcement agencies picking up people off the streets and dumping them here. Now, we're going to talk in the next hour about how Governor Tony Evers wants to set up an Office of Violence Prevention. Reporter Elizabeth Montemurro is going to tell us about that, about addressing crime at its root causes before you need the police. The response from Wisconsin's top Republican, Robin Voss, is downright insulting, and we'll play it in our next hour. But his response to this is that what you need are more police, that more police are the best way to prevent crime. No, that's not true. It has never been true. Police we trust to respond to incidents, to investigate them, to make arrests. But the only way you can conceive of more police as a way to prevent violence is if you're talking about a presence on the streets. Do you want armed police standing on the corners? Is that your idea of a crime deterrent? But more importantly for this argument, I know the Durand Police Department is struggling with tight budgets. St. Croix County is struggling with tight budgets. Menominee is struggling with tight budgets. And you hear about the so-called defund the police movement. Do you know who is defunding the police? Wisconsin's top Republican. And every Republican in the Wisconsin legislature, when they year after year after year put limits on local governments that hinder their ability to fully fund law enforcement, all done in the name of, you know, taxpayer savings and budget austerity. But I think Tony up in Ashland says it really well up on YouTube. Why would Republicans want to prevent crime when they could be tough on it? And that's exactly what this is. This is cosmetic. Whether you're dumping people or pretending to get tough by pretending to boost police when you're actually helping cut police budgets. Climate Check is after this. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com. It's electric.
All right, welcome back to Up North News Radio on this Wednesday morning. Melissa Baldoff is here for our weekly climate check. The last climate check in the last normal week. Maybe there's a little hyperbole in there, but I'm not so sure. Melissa, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I just think that next week we're going to be talking about, holy cow, look at all this stuff that the new administration wants to do already. But let's not worry about that today, because on this last full week of the Biden administration, it needs to be made clear again that I mean, seriously, no president has done more for rural Wisconsin and for clean energy than Joseph R. Biden. And he's going out with a bang here. And so the USDA, and through their state rural development director, my old Senate colleague, Julie Lassa, they're going out with an announcement of millions of dollars in grant funding to expand access to clean energy systems and increase the availability of domestic biofuels. There are so many things here. Melissa, do you want to talk either overall about the program or some of the program, the individual programs that are going to be funded?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should talk a little bit about the program in general, and then we should talk about some of these specific projects that are going to be happening. And you know, I'll say, you know, first of all, I want to say, take another little step back and say, you know, we've seen dozens and dozens of these announcements over the past 4 years of the Biden-Harris administration. So, you know, like you said, I just want to really drive that point home that no one has done more for rural communities, for clean energy, for expanding the clean energy economy than Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. It has been really incredible to see these investments, to know that communities are getting getting this kind of support, that they're being lifted up, that people are gonna see the impact of this investment for for years to come, you know, for a generation, that this funding is really going to make a difference. So it's always exciting to see these announcements, even though we have seen many of these kinds of announcements about funding. And it's nice to know that still, even, you know, with, you know, almost the clock run out here, we are still seeing announcements about more support, more funding going out to communities. But just a quick little bit about how this is being funded, some of these being funded through the Rural Energy for America program, which is a big part of this, is a really exciting program that provides a lot of support in rural areas, around the country. So this is something that allows loan financing and grant funding to go to agricultural producers and rural small businesses for renewable energy systems or to make energy efficiency improvements. And, you know, there's a lot of ways that an entity can be eligible to receive this funding to be able to, you know, do geothermal, to do wind generation, solar, to do insulation, lighting, to do improvements for doors and windows that are more energy efficient, for cooling, refrigeration, just anything to make, you know, more energy efficient improvements that are going to help save money and, you know, help save money in the long run. So yeah, this is a really good program.
Yeah. And let me put things in perspective here from a time perspective. Now, this program is called the Rural Energy for America program, or REAP, as Melissa noted. It was around prior to Joe Biden. And in fact, a Fox 11 story out of Green Bay notes that since 2021, the USDA has invested nearly $50 million in more than 250 projects in Wisconsin through REAP. And nobody's saying that it's necessarily going to go away under the Biden or under the Trump administration, except to say that all that Trump and his incoming administration have talked about are massive budget cuts. And as a result, there's, you know, reason to worry that REAP might be one of those that has been helping, again, dozens of projects in Wisconsin to make things more energy efficient and, you know, create jobs in the process. There's just a lot that's been done. And do you want to talk a bit about some of the specific ones that caught your eye?
Yeah, absolutely. So looking into, you know, this announcement, definitely noticed how these are going to help some of these communities around the state. So I saw in Kewaunee County, Rosewood Dairy in Algoma is going to use a $500,000 REAP grant to install more energy efficient lighting. It's going to save that business more than $18,000 a year and also save nearly 238,000 kilowatt hours per year, which is about 60% of their energy use. So that's a pretty significant amount of dollar savings, but also a very significant energy usage savings.
Without a doubt. And it just, again, goes to show that there's so many different ways that this project can go to work. There's another program that is, again, part of this through the USDA Rural Development Office, and it's called the Higher Blends Infrastructure Incentive Program. That sounds rather government speak there. But again, it is there to assist with moving toward cleaner burning or, you know, biofuels that are not as reliant on fossil fuels. And Wisconsin is one of the leading areas that has been researching biofuels. How do I know this? Because way back when in the legislature, I chaired a legislative study committee all about Wisconsin biofuels. And the gist of what we learned there was that, you know, this state, which is already so heavy, Melissa, in research and development, was poised to really make great strides in biofuels. And it's clear from this announcement that that has come to fruition, that for anybody looking for alternatives to traditional fossil fuels, there are biofuels made in Wisconsin that they can take advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is just really one of those other incredible opportunities to take advantage of what funding is available and the ways that, you know, that we can capitalize on the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah, as I was looking at, again, some of what it does here, it supports infrastructure improvements and business development to help with fuel pumps and dispensers and storage tanks. And so you're going to see a lot more of this along the way. But that's not all. Again, one of the things that the Biden administration has been leading the way on through the Inflation Reduction Act is something called the Home Electrification and Appliance Rebates Program. And that's HEAR, H-E-A-R, Home Electrification and Appliance Rebates Program. And Melissa, that too is a way where, again, ordinary folks can save all kinds of money by doing home upgrades that then make their homes energy efficient and lower their utility bills.
Yeah, this is a really exciting program. This is one that is going to allow folks to save up to $14,000 in for rebates to upgrade their equipment and homes and appliances. It can cover up to 100% of costs for lower income families and up to 50% of costs for middle-income families to do things like install an electric heat pump for their heating and cooling needs, for electrical panels, for electrical wiring, for electric heat pump water heater. So this is a really, really cool opportunity for people to be able to electrify some of those appliances and get a rebate for them and be able to save money and have more efficient appliances in their appliances in their homes, to know that they are going to be reducing their carbon footprint, saving some money, reducing their energy costs each month, and having those savings that they're going to realize. So this is a really cool program that is available. It's available right now through Focus on Energy in the state. And it's a complement to another program that launched last year in the summer, was the Home Efficiency Rebate Program. And Wisconsin was the first state to launch the homes rebate program, and one of the very first states to be able to launch the home energy rebate program. And, you know, a big part of that is because we have the Focus on Energy program in our state, because we have the framework set up to be able to deliver on these programs, and we have the infrastructure that people are able to start taking advantage of them right away. Some other states were starting kind of from nothing, from ground zero. They're having to build out the infrastructure and what it takes to be able to administer programs and to start to deliver and get people set up and offer the rebates. Wisconsin already had what it takes. We already have this infrastructure. We have the manpower to be able to get people going and set up and start getting rebates. There are already people who have gotten the work done, gotten rebates, and are moving forward on some of these projects. So people can start this process right away and start saving money right away.
That's right. So for all of these examples here and more, I want to make sure we're clear on the point we're laying out, because I'm sure a few folks are thinking, you know, are you guys relitigating the election here? No, the election's over, but I think that it's worth noting that, you know, the outgoing president can take a bit of a victory lap for the things that got accomplished for rural Wisconsin and for green energy. And that if these programs interest you, whether you've already used them or you're thinking about some upgrades, some appliances, just everything that you've heard about here, that those resources are out there now, but it would be really good if you let, you know, your senator know, your congressional rep, a state legislator, that this is a priority. Because I know it's one that doesn't get talked about a lot. You know, people don't talk about, you know, I want to get a new electric water pump, you know, heater for my house or something. But then they're doing the work and they're thinking, oh, wait, wasn't there some kind of a rebate program or something like that? So, you know, one of the things that isn't as glamorous I like to talk about in segments like this, Melissa, is that there are these everyday things where there are programs that can help out and you should know about them so that, you know, you can let people know, hey, this is something worth keeping. This is a good use of our tax dollars.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, there is Wisconsin received nearly $150 million from the Department of Energy for these home energy rebate programs. That money is here and it is for the residents of this state to use for these programs. So people should absolutely apply for it. Obviously we could talk about the weather and it's cold, but you know, unfortunately the Packers are out. It's almost a month till, you know, pitchers and catchers report. You know, Bucks are doing pretty okay, but you know, like here's something to talk about. Talk about how we can do this, how you can take advantage of these rebates, you know? Here's a good conversation starter for people. So I think that we should be talking about these rebates.
And we're not even kidding, because it's this time of year that people start thinking about, you know, what kind of a home remodeling project might they be doing in the spring or summer. So we've got you still intrigued about the things that are out there. Can't guarantee for how long they are, but at least now you know a bit more about it. And that's because of our weekly climate check that is handled each week so well by Melissa Baldoff. Melissa, thank you as always. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too.
We will be back with today's history lesson after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You know, Melissa Kay is here, and you got a cute way of talking. You know that? Leo Sayre said that anyway. Okay. Back on this day in 1977, when You Make Me Feel Like Dancing was the number one single, there was a new number one album that week, a brand new album by the Eagles called Hotel California.
Never heard of it.
Think it might go places. It went farther than Leo Sayre did with this single, but both were number one. 48 years ago this week.
Okay, that just, shut up.
I have to worry. It's January. It takes longer to do the math this time. Melissa's here, and God bless her for it, from 97.5 WFHR, 105.5 WIRI. Catch her twice a week on Community Stories with Melissa
Kay. Right now, we're on break. The show is on break right now, and when it comes back, it'll be a little different, but that's okay.
Okay, forget it. Forget everything that I just said, and we'll just ask Melissa. How did you? You were off last week. Did you get a little rest?
I got a little rest and relaxation. I finished up some Christmas presents. Don't judge me. It's fine.
we got one last Christmas card. I'm pretty sure it's the last one that we got the other day from somebody. We're like, yep, they're normally the later ones, and there's always say Happy New Year instead.
Yeah, people started putting Happy New Year on them. Then there's something.
That's right.
Happy all year to send them out.
Merry Valentine's Day. Hello.
Right.
Let's see. You guys too. You make me smile.
Yeah.
Let's see. Birthdays today. This is the anniversary of the birth of the late Ronnie Van Zant, born this day in 1948 from a little band called Leonard Skinner. course, would be from Gimme Three Steps. On this day in 1967, Super Bowl I was played in Los Angeles, and the Green Bay Packers defeated the Kansas City Chiefs 35-10. Martin Luther King Jr. was born this day in 1929. I want you to listen to this next clip. This is Mick Jagger on the Ed Sullivan Show. The Rolling Stones were appearing this day in 1967 to sing their hit record, Let's Spend the Night Together. But Ed Sullivan would not let them sing Let's Spend the Night Together. So listen as they sing Let's Spend Some Time Together. And for Greg, as he's watching the YouTube clip, watch Mick and the boys roll their eyes as they're singing this lyric. Love that look. It's just like, heart, yeah, heart. We got to do what we got to do.
That's fine. A hard eye roll right there.
Yep. But, you know, back then, Ed Sullivan was the big dog. You did whatever.
Unless you were the Doors.
Yes. Well, so some groups managed to get banned or just really cheese off Mr. Sullivan. Let's see. That was on this night in 1967. In a studio that day, the Buckinghams were recording a song that would hit the charts shortly after.
All the other guys in town, can't you see? You're hurting me, don't you care?
Now, I've got to ask you, Melissa, the next one is Don McLean's American Pie. You're familiar with the song.
Yes.
But do you feel like, how many of the lyrics do you think you could bang out if prompted? Have you heard it that much?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not without it playing along.
Okay. It was the number one song this day in 1972.
This will be the day that I die. Did you write the book of love? And
it is almost a memory test for people of a certain age to see if they can still get all the lyrics out before forgetting, because there's a lot here. It's such a long song, 8.5 minutes. That back in the olden days, you had to flip the 45 over to hear the second half of the song. Yeah, yep. I got
one
more.
A decade before I was born.
Okay, knock it off. Okay.
Let's see. Well, you know who was born close to that? Then would be Pitbull, who is 43.
Wanna see that thing drop from the back to the front to the top? You know me, I'm off in the cut. Like
all right, Pitbull was born Armando Perez, and yeah, he is 43 years old today, and a different kind of music than Don McLean. I think we would all agree.
Skosh.
This is the anniversary of the Miracle on the Hudson. As U.S. Airways Flight 1549 safely ditches in the Hudson River after a bird strike, all 155 people on board were rescued because of Tom Hanks, who was piloting the airplane that day. Or at least he portrayed Sully in the movie.
I was trying to think about that. How many? I think that Tom Hanks might be America's biographical actor.
Oh, without a doubt.
I think he's played more real life or based on real life characters than I think any other actor in, at least in America.
Pretty darn close. Yeah. Yep.
If
we missed it earlier, and I think we did, Rob from Tigerton chimes in with a Happy New Year, Melissa, on Facebook.
Happy New Year, Rob.
Yeah. And Tony from Ashland, flipping the 45. I remember so vividly. That was annoying. Not nearly as annoying as my mom playing her 8-track player. And how the 8-track would sometimes change channels in the middle of the song. Ooh. And you'd get that ka-chunk in the middle of the song, and then the song would come back into play. You kids don't appreciate how good the technology is.
Okay, but the frustration now is you're listening to a common council meeting and an ad pops up in the middle of it.
Oh, that's true. You know what? Pop-up ads are what you youngins will tell your grandkids someday, like us for the 8-track. We're practically the same, Melissa.
Practically.
Someone
happy
help
bagel
me.
Day, happy strawberry ice cream day, happy hat day, and happy Wikipedia day, where, you know, someday Melissa K is going to have a very long entry. Trust me. Melissa, thank you. Happy New Year. Good
happy
to see
New
you again.
Year. It's good to All see right. you guys, too.
All right. Elizabeth Montemarow tells us about Governor Doyle's new initiative to reduce violence in Wisconsin. Next, you're up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.